Well, bring you Christian greetings. It was good to be here thinking of the Christ, the Savior, being born and thinking about all the things around that story. It brings a lot of interesting things, and it brings a lot of things about the greatness of God out. When we think of the word that I can't really explain that well, but it talks about the Christ being incarnate, we realize that in the book of Genesis, we read the stories and accounts that God, and the accounts there talks about we or us in a plural sense, and so it is Jesus there at that point. And then we talk about this lesson this morning, and it's about Jesus being born. And for us as human beings, when someone is born, that's our beginning. And so it gets kind of confusing, makes those events really big or above my thinking or IQ even to be able to gather all that together. And so God is a big God. He's the God of the universe. And we can look at the different parts of His creation in many ways, in even just our little finite minds, to understand a lot of really great things and interesting things about God. So those are really big things about God. If you just think of creation and just mind-boggling the vastness and all that. Then there's the other side that I think of sometimes, maybe even fits me better, is some of the smaller, more ordinary things that we can see God in. And I'd like to share some of that with you this morning. This God that we're talking about is the God of the universe, and He has come in the flesh and provided salvation for us in a perfect sacrifice. But He also has shown Himself in some other ways in His creation. So in the devotional, beside the still waters, there has been a writer there that has brought out some interesting three different days that kind of struck me that I'd like to share a little bit with you here this morning. It has nothing to do with Christmas, but it has to do with the Creator. And this writer's name is Lester Burkholder from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I have no clue who he is, but he has written three different ones in November and December devotional that I'd like to share with you. And so the first one has to do with cuckoos and fairy wrens. I don't know how many of you follow Beside the Still Waters or not, but hopefully it's not redundant to you here, but I just thought it was impressive and challenging to me how God has cared for His critters, His little birds that are about as big as a sparrow or a wren. And so this cuckoo's story and fairy wrens is two different kinds of birds. The Horsfield bronze cuckoos live in Australia, and they like to lay their eggs in the nests of superb fairy wrens. And so I don't know if you know anything about a cuckoo clock. Does anybody have a cuckoo clock at home? Grandma's old cuckoo clock? Or you have one at home? Well, I remember those, something from Germany, actually. But it really has nothing to do with God's creation of the cuckoo bird and his faults that he has. But it does give you kind of an interesting reminder, I guess, if you would think about it every time he cuckoos, because he is quite the bird. There's many different kinds of cuckoo birds and many different kinds of cuckoo clocks, too. But there's many different kinds of cuckoo birds that kind of actually do the same thing. Well, this story here is they like to lay their eggs. The cuckoo likes to lay his eggs in this fairy wren's nest. Apparently recognizing this threat, a fairy wren mother may sing to her eggs while she is incubating them. If she hears the calls of the horse field's cuckoo, she sings to her eggs even more often than she would otherwise. She is too small to fight the cuckoo hen or chase her from the nest. After the eggs are hatched, after these fairy wren eggs are hatched, after the eggs are hatched, the baby fairy wren sings the incubation song back to their parents as a call for food. So as she is incubating these, she's singing to the eggs, to the embryos. And the more closely the begging call, okay, so then they hatch and then they sing, they sing this song that they learn while they're being incubated back to the parents as a call to be fed. The more closely the begging call resembles the incubation call, the more food the baby fairy wrens receive. If a baby cuckoo hatches, it pushes out the fairy wren eggs or babies and becomes the only chick in the nest. The baby cuckoo tries to sing the fairy wren song to get food, but the song comes out awkwardly. Then the fairy wren parents abandon the nest, and the baby cuckoo starves to death. It is impossible for a baby cuckoo to learn the fairy wren song because it is not made like a fairy wren. And of course, the fairy wren has no interest in learning the cuckoo song. The mother fairy wren helps us to see the importance of exposing our children to write music. And that kind of fits because she's singing the song. And so when we think of our children and singing proper songs and that they're exposed to those good songs is kind of the point to this devotional here. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told the first verses that children are to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers then, or mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so that's the verses that go with this devotional, that our concern, we should have a concern to be able to sing the songs of the Lord to our children. The songs of the surrounding world should warn us as fathers and mothers to sing the songs of Zion more frequently, just as God has put in that fairy wren when he feels the influence of this cuckoos around him, that he would actually make an effort, that she would actually make an effort to sing more to the babies in the eggs in the nest, because she feels that there's this, the other birds are around her. And so fairy wren parents accurately fairy wren parents accurately distinguish cuckoo songs from fairy wren songs. Likewise, Christian parents should be careful to distinguish the world's empty songs from the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that bring blessing and honor to God, to our soul and God. The point, I think, and we can expand this to a whole sermon, yes, there is a need to sing the right songs and be concerned about that message that's going into our babies, born or unborn, and then our children. But when you expand that thought of our responsibility to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's not just the music, but it's our whole lifestyle. It's what we call today anymore is a Christian worldview. That whole thing must be promoted instead of what you see around you. I think it's important that we have that discernment like that little bird has. God has put that in that bird. It's quite interesting. To me it is anyway, that when she hears the influence of the other songs, that she would put more effort into that in her song to teach her children the right song. we need to take upon us the importance of teaching our children or those in our influence the right way to live, not just the songs, but it's the whole view of what we're doing as a Christian and our whole response to everything. There are things of the Lord and there are things that are not of the Lord. And we need to have discernment that we might be able to teach the things that are of the Lord. You know, we can stop and think at all ages in this room that there's things that we have experienced in the past, like in history, and there's things today. And with that Word of God in our ability to discern, we need to learn from what has happened, and we need to promote the things that are of God, because there is two sides going on here. There's a, and if you will go back to the story, there's a song of the world that's alluring us, and there is songs or the scripture that's pointing us the right way. And so as mothers and fathers, children here this morning, you can even go to Christmas and you can realize we picked up Karen here this morning, and right beside her neighbors there, she has a whole yard full of the Santa things and all that things that go with that. And then there's a stable, a manger scene right with it. It's kind of almost mixed together. And to me, those are the things that we have to decide. It's not necessarily just the song that we could literally use that as a lesson here, but it's all kinds of things that we need to discern and make the moves and learn from and make the moves in the right direction. So when you think of this little fairy wren, she is there and she realizes the trouble, and when she actually hatches a baby cuckoo, that baby cuckoo, as soon as it's born, it either throws the unhatched eggs out of the host of the fairy wren. She actually throws that one baby cuckoo bird, throws the eggs out, or either if the baby fairy wrens are hatched already, she'll throw those out, and she ends up being the only bird in the nest. And the article says that the mom and dad of the fairy wren will actually about starve themselves in trying to gather food for this big critter they're trying to raise. The fairy and fairy wren parents abandon the nest, and the baby cuckoo starves to death. But if they try to feed it, it would actually make them probably kill them themselves. So, okay, so then the next story that he wrote was about this same type of cuckoo bird and another bird that is common in the areas. There is the reed warblers, which maybe it'd be nice to have pictures of these critters, but the story is the common cuckoo lives in Europe but migrates to Africa for the winter. And a little bit of a different cuckoo, but there's many different kinds. Instead of building her nest for herself, the female cuckoo will sit and watch a reed warbler build a nest. Later, while the reed warbler is away, the cuckoo will swoop down, throw out a reed warbler's egg, and deposit one of her own into the nest in 8 seconds or less. And so, kind of a funny picture. You see this bird sitting up and waiting for the mama bird that has just laid a fresh egg, and she's proud of herself and cheering. And the reed warbler flies away to get food or whatever. And this cuckoo comes in there, and in 8 seconds or less, she can throw out the host egg and lay her own. The cuckoo will then fly off and leave the reed warbler to incubate the egg alone. Incubate the cuckoo egg alone with her own eggs. A cuckoo may lay eggs in as many as a dozen reed warbler nests in one season. So they basically, that's what they do. They sit around and wait for somebody's nest to be finished, and then lay maybe 12 eggs throughout the year. Within a few hours of hatching, a baby cuckoo will push the reed warbler's eggs or nestlings out of the nest. A young cuckoo has a voracious appetite and soon grows much larger than its host. The reed warbler's parents will almost work themselves to death to feed the lone young cuckoo, often looking like sparrows feeding a full-grown hawk. So it's kind of the similar story as that fairy wren. But he says here in the point that he wants us to learn from is in 1 Peter 5:8, we read that the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is also like a cuckoo hen that flies about seeking an unattended reed warbler nest in which to lay an egg. It takes only a moment for an egg of anger, jealousy, lust, or pride to be laid in our hearts. If we incubate it and later feed the chick, it can harm us spiritually or even cause spiritual death. The best thing we can do is the same thing that a small percentage of reed warblers do. They identify the cuckoo egg as not their own and eject it from the nest. Others abandon the nest entirely, build a new one, and lay a new clutch of eggs. And I think that the point to this devotional here was in Proverbs 4:23. It says when it says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The whole idea of being awake and aware of what's going on around us, so that we don't have that Satan coming in and laying an egg or tempting us in one way or another, like the, maybe even the things that are mentioned here, anger, jealousy, lust, or pride. Many other things that Satan will bring to us. But our suggestion here is, like the small percentage of these birds have enough of sense to get rid of that egg right away, we must do that immediately with those temptations or examples that have been given here of anger, jealousy, lust, and pride. We need to get rid of them. We all know what happens when we incubate and kind of babysit, we call it, some of those issues in life. When somebody wrongs us or offends us, we need to do like Joseph did in the Old Testament. He was in trouble with Potiphar's wife. He left his coat and ran. Sometimes it's time to run away from things and get rid of things. And do not make provisions for the flesh is another part of that verse or thought. The difference between us and the bird has an instinct that he kind of thinks that possibly this cuckoo bird doesn't belong in his nest or the egg is not the right egg. But he only has an instinct where God has given us a mind and a brain, we call it, to discern and to weigh out things and to read the scripture and how those things line up with what the Bible says. And so that's why the verse in Hebrew in Proverbs 4 fits so well here, that we are to keep, or that's to be alert or to watch what's going on around us. Is there something that's lurking around us that we need to get rid of? Because God does give us the opportunity, because of being Christians, to be victorious and actually know when it's wrong and to get rid of the things, not like the bird that only has a bit of an instinct. We have ways to weigh back and forth what the Bible might say. The third thing that this man wrote about was actually cuckoo bees, which was just on Friday. There is a bee called a cuckoo bee because it lays its eggs in the nests of other bees, just as the cuckoo bird lays its nests in other birds, in the nests of other birds. So it kind of, we switch from a bird to an insect here, but it's the same name. And many, many bee names there is out there, which I didn't know that. But cuckoo bees come in a variety of species and colors. But one common feature is that the female lacks hair for collecting pollen. So it's more like a hornet. It's more like a smooth-shelled bee. Other bees gather pollen to feed their young, but the cuckoo bee leaves this task to their host bees. And so they are... cuckoo bees usually lay their eggs in the nests of pollen-collecting bees that closely resemble them. The hosts are generally solitary bees that have nests in the ground. And so we have already seen nests, holes where we suppose bees are in, but I guess that's a fact. So the hosts are generally solitary bees that have nests in the ground. A female cuckoo bee often watches, kind of same as that bird, often watches for a host bee to enter into a hole in the ground and lay her eggs and leave. Then the cuckoo bee enters the nest and lays her own eggs, sometimes destroying the host's eggs, sometimes leaving them for her young. After a cuckoo bee hatches, the larva eats the host egg, if it's still in the cell, along with a pollen ball intended for the host larva. The host bee works hard to keep bringing pollen for the young cuckoo bee, unaware that it's not her own. And so, quite an interesting, to me it was quite interesting how God has made those different critters. Some verses here in 2 John that go with this lesson here. In 2 John, the Apostle John warned Christians to beware of false teachers who seek to enter their houses, or into the holes of the bees, if you will, and plant false doctrine. They would cause the believers to lose things for which they had labored spiritually. And so I'll just read a few verses here. In verse 7 it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ." Whosoever transgresseth, "and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, nor bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." So as we think of the damage that this little bee does to the host eggs, she'll either kill the eggs or have the new hatched bees eat the eggs of the host bee. All that destruction that it does, all the things that original bee worked for, is gone. And so when a verse that stands out here is that, "Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought," or that we have worked for. There's things that we understand in the scripture and things that we understand even just as fundamentals of Christianity that must stay in place. And we need to watch for it because Satan is out there trying to destroy, just like this cuckoo bee would do. It says, "Look to yourselves." In other words, there's again a warning to be watchful. "Look to yourselves," or "watch out, that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Also, the next page in my Bible is the pages of Jude, one page of Jude. It says there in verse 2, "Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you, unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I've shared before some of those phrases there in verse 4 when it talks about there, for there are certain men crept in unawares. The U.S. government has tried, well, actually lots of different governments, have tried very, very hard to make airplanes that are undetectable by radar. And the one that the U.S. calls a stealth bomber, which is now different numbers and different advancements as the years go on. I don't know what the modern model is anymore, but the years ago we heard the first things about a stealth bomber, and we think of this black, odd-shaped thing made out of carbon fiber and undetectable by radar, with way far advanced from whatever they had before. And so other countries now are, of course, copying all that. And the U.S. apparently has advanced in some of that too. But the thing is, what we don't often think of, and I'd like to leave this with you here this morning, we don't often think of is the fact that Satan would like to come in undetected under the radar of personal lives, families, churches, whatever, organizations. And when it says here, for there are certain men crept in unawares, it's something to do with that same idea of that stealth word. It's a sneaky attack that, just like this cuckoo bee comes in there and actually has killed off the host bees, they will never hatch. That is a warning to us as we are here this morning. And I don't know why God has brought this to me this week, just before Christmas. But we do want to keep Christmas in its place. And I don't know if that's the reason why, but one of the things I think can happen is that, or for me anyways, we're it's not hard to easily identify bold things that Satan brings to me. That's not hard to see. Well, that's not of God. That's got to go. But then for me to stop and think as a daily life routine or daily life, that I would understand that there is also that whole idea of that Satan would come in, try to come in a stealthily way, under the radar and distract us, or to eventually take us where we don't want to be. I hope that we can remember a few of these tips from these different birds and this bee, and take them with us as we go from here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again want to thank you that you have provided guidance and direction for us. Help us to be healthy spiritually, that we can discern what is in front of us in a bold way that Satan would bring to us. But also, I pray, especially this morning for each one that's here, that we would be aware of the stealthy things that Satan would bring into our lives. Just help us not to think that we have it all together, but that we would depend on you for discernment and guidance and direction, and that we would draw ourselves closer to you, and especially as we think of during this holiday season, that you would be held first as a reason for it. Just bless our group here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a song at this time.